The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. God's kind of love is not easily provoked and does not rejoice in sin. True love endures. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about Love Has a Price Tag. That happens to be the title of one of my books, the book from which I have been taking the last few talks. It is a collection of essays on many different topics. I hope that you're not misled by the title. Love, of course, can't be bought as a can of tomato soup or a new car, but real love, as the Bible defines it, always costs. I had been married just a few months when I wrote this essay, Love Has a Price Tag, and my husband was finishing up his hospital chaplaincy internship in Georgia, so I had been transplanted to Atlanta, and that transplanting in itself was for me a small sacrifice. I'm a Northeasterner. I've lived in New England for about 20 years now, and I didn't really want to go down to Georgia, but I knew that when I accepted my husband's proposal of marriage, that I was handing over power. That's one of the things that happens in marriage, isn't it? A woman submits to her husband, she accepts him, she accepts his name, she accepts his destiny. And if it means a geographical change, well, then she accepts a geographical change. It was right after I had written a book called Let Me Be a Woman, my wedding present to my daughter Valerie, in which I had talked quite a bit about what it means to be married. And I had told Valerie that she certainly was going to have to submit to her husband and a whole lot of other things. And it was as if God had said to me, by giving me this third husband, try it again. Do you really believe all that stuff that you've been handing out to women? Well, test it one more time. And so I was testing it, living there in Atlanta. There are sacrifices to be made if you love anybody, even if you love a dog. Those of you who have dogs and love them the way I do know that there are some inconveniences connected with having any sort of an animal, but the measure of your love is the measure in which you are willing to be inconvenienced. Most of us are not making huge, heroic sacrifices most of the time, but every day there are opportunities to be inconvenienced in small ways, to say no to ourselves. That's called self-denial. And it's one of the conditions of discipleship. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you must be willing to say no to yourself. We're given the opportunity to do little unselfish acts, which are not going to win medals or make us famous. But there are satisfactions and joys that come from those small sacrifices, are there not? Self-giving is always one of the gateways to joy. Selfishness is never a gateway to joy. It may be a gateway to happiness, in a measure, what the world calls happiness. You may have some fun by being very selfish, and we all know what that's like. I've done it myself more times than I would care to count. But I know in my head, and I know from God's book, that it is not the route to joy. In the Bible, we read that gain comes out of loss, that joy comes out of sorrow, that receiving comes from giving, fulfillment from laying down, life out of death. That is the message of the cross, isn't it? Life comes out of death. I live because Jesus died. Well, marriage is a very fertile field for learning those lessons of love and sacrifice. There is a price tag. And we had an experience in Georgia which opened my eyes even more to the reality of love with a capital L. We visited a man named Mr. Smith, who worked in the same hospital where my husband was doing his chaplaincy training. We had breakfast with him one morning. He was a very handsome man with white hair, ruddy skin, and bright blue eyes. He was wearing a blue shirt and a blue sweater that matched his eyes, and he told us a story which brought into sharp focus the words of the wedding vows, "In sickness and in health, for better, for worse." His wife had been a patient at the state hospital for 3 years. "When she first got sick, I carried her everywhere," he said. "I did. The doctor said she'll get worse every week and every month. So if you want to go on any trips or anywhere, go now. We had some good times, me and her. But the doctor said, you can't stand it. You won't be able to stand it." "Well," I said, "I'm going to hang on as long as I can." I took care of her for 5 years, but I lost 52 pounds just from worry. I was so tense, they broke 3 needles trying to put a shot in my arm. Well, I carried her to 25 doctors, but they couldn't do nothing. It's brain deterioration, they told me. I did everything for her. I dressed her and fed her and everything. But it liked to whop me, and if it hadn't have been for the good Lord, I'd have never made it. Doctor said I'd have sworn you'd never last 6 months. But a lot of people were praying for me, oh yeah. Finally, I had to give up and put her in here. She can't do nothing. Can't move or speak or hear. She's in the pre-birth position, legs and arms locked, heels locked up tight behind. You can't straighten her out. But I come every other day. I go in and I kiss her about a dozen times, just love her to death. I talk to her. She don't hear me, but she knows my touch. Well, I work for the florist around here," he said. "Volunteer work, you know. I go around the wards carrying flowers." Well, Lars and I went to see Mrs. Smith. If ever there was a sight to confound a man's love for a woman, to strain to the breaking point the most potent human passion, we saw it in that stark white crib, a crumpled scrap of inert humanity. But there is a love that is as strong as death, a love many waters cannot quench and floods cannot drown. I thought of that kind of love not very long after that visit, and I thought of it with shame because I had been disturbed by a petty thing. I think of the words in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is very patient, very kind. It envies no one. Love is never boastful, nor conceited, nor rude. Never selfish, not quick to take offense. Love keeps no score of wrongs. Does not gloat over other men's sins, but delights in the truth. There is nothing love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, its hope, and its endurance. Love will never come to an end. And in 1 John 3:16, we read, "It is by this that we know what love is, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we in our turn are bound to lay down our lives for our brothers." Marriage involves sacrifice. Love always involves sacrifice. And Mr. Smith was laying down his life for his wife, getting no response of any sort, not even a flicker of recognition. But he was convinced that she knew his touch. The problem in so many marriages, I think, is that there's too much taking and not nearly enough giving. Too much thinking, but what about my feelings? What about my needs? and not enough, what can I do for his feelings? How can I meet his needs? There's an unwillingness to make even the little petty sacrifices which constitute simple courtesy. You husbands, do you help your wife in with her chair at the table if there's no company? Do you open the car door for her? Help her on with her coat? Oh, but we've been married 30 years. You don't do that after 30 years, do you? Well, I dare say that you probably didn't do it after 30 days. Courtesy is just little petty sacrifices, isn't it? The little thoughtfulnesses which may cause us a small measure of inconvenience. And when we refuse to do those, we are refusing to stoop for the small gate and the narrow passageway that lead to joy. Remember that love has a price tag. Love will cost you. And I am convinced that even in the most grave marital problems, serious problems of a deep and lasting nature, that there is a solution if both parties will give themselves and be willing to sacrifice. Even the deepest wrong can be righted by sacrifice. What was wrong with the world was so terrible that it could only be remedied by sacrifice. Jesus made that sacrifice on the cross.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.